This past week, New Jersey Governor Murphy released his budget plan for the state. Some were encouraged, others shocked. And even though the budget process has just started, the conversations, the claims, yeah, they've quickly become numerous, haven't they? My first guest is with us to examine the budget plan, how the State House might handle it this time around. He served in the State Assembly, by the way, from 1996 to 2018. He led the Bridgegate investigation, ran for governor in 2017. Today he heads the legal firm of Wisniewski and Associates. We say good morning to John Wisniewski. Thanks so much for being here today, sir.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
And learn more about the legal services of Wisniewski and Associates. It's wisniewskilaw.com. We have a link at our homepage for you to easily reference. To say the least, certainly you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the state hasn't been this flush with cash for quite some time, have they?
No, it's a very unusual set of circumstances, due in part to the borrowing that the state did at the beginning of the pandemic, the money that's come in from the federal government as a result of the pandemic, and the tax collections that have pretty much maintained their pace despite the expectation that they might fall off. So the state's sitting on quite a bit of money, and that's a good thing, but it also can be a dangerous thing.
It's a matter of, it's great to have a lot of money, but it depends on what you do with it. And certainly the budget process is fiscal to be certain, but political as well. When you look at the trends in the State House, you saw some seat gains by the Republicans. You saw a narrow win by the governor. What kind of message do you at least hope that the governor and Democrats heard from that election?
Well, it depends on who you ask, right? There are people who will say that the governor's election was a robust ratification of his policies, given a very difficult environment. And there are others who would argue that the near win of Jack Ciattarelli was a wake-up call for Democrats to think about how they're approaching issues like affordability. And I think that when you see the governor's proposal, his tax proposal called the Anchor Property Tax Relief Program, is the governor addressing that concern?
And when you look to, I think it was USA Today Network here in New Jersey, did research, they came up with 58 towns in the state where homeowners, landlords, as well as just straight-out homeowners, pay at least 10% of their income just in property taxes, never mind all the other incidentals that come with homeownership. And that affects renters, too, by the way, if you're listening, because when your landlord's taxes go up, your rent's going to go up. So with that and what you just said, too, about how the election results are perceived, it's probably not much of a surprise that property taxes became such a strong part of the governor's at least initial plan, was it?
No, but let's also recognize that property taxes is the evergreen issue of New Jersey politics. There's not a year that doesn't go by where there's a debate and discussion about addressing the high cost of property taxes in New Jersey. And the average homeowner in New Jersey pays $9,000 a year in property taxes. And so the governor's program to provide an average rebate of $700 to folks making up to $250,000, certainly welcome to anybody who's paying that bill. But also we have to recognize that it's a drop in the bucket for most homeowners, because that's 7% of a $9,000 bill. And like I said, while it's welcome, it doesn't address the long-term problem.
Do you think a short-term solution could be by using the cash cow that the state has right now to increase school funding through that, as opposed to going to the homeowners, which primarily pays for school funding for their local communities? There a 6% increase of at least state school funding compared to the last budget year.
Well, I think you've hit upon a very important issue that often gets overlooked, is that the largest chunk of everybody's property tax bill goes to pay for education in New Jersey. We have a great education system. New Jersey schools rank at the top nationally every single year. It costs a lot of money to do that. And if you're taking those dollars and you're lowering the amount that has to be raised from property taxpayers, that's one way of lowering the cost. But I think there's a bigger issue, which is the multiplicity of governmental units in New Jersey, 600-plus school districts, over 550 municipalities, fire districts, authorities. You've got 1,300 units of government, all of whom have the ability to raise a tax, impose a fee, and that is really what's driving a lot of the costs, and we need to find a way of cutting that back and reducing it.
I know over the past years, consolidation among public works like the fire departments and police departments, and putting a reliance for small towns on the local state police barracks has at least been the attempt. It hasn't held to a serious degree. That's been one of the avenues. We're talking with John Wisniewski. He served in the state assembly from 1996 to 2018, led the Bridgegate investigation, candidate for governor in 2017. Now the head of the legal firm Wisniewski and Associates on the web, wisniewskilaw.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. A point that you like to bring out to the forefront is the Transportation Trust Fund, which is pretty much, we talk about the state having a sitting on the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the exact opposite for that fund, and that was all but absent from the governor's presentation.
And that's one of the most awkward issues in any political debate in Trenton, because the Transportation Trust Fund had the gas tax raised back in 2016. It went up an unprecedented 25 cents a gallon. The increase now is a total of 42 cents a gallon. And what gets lost in all of these discussions is that money will disappear in less than 2 years, because all of that money will be pledged to pay for bond debt that's been used for all the transportation projects. And that will leave the trust fund with zero for new projects. And that, for anybody who's dealt with bad roads or understands the need for new trains and buses on New Jersey Transit, having no money in that pot is a devastating blow to New Jersey's economy.
Do you think the Murphy administration is still banking on a federal, to some level or degree, Build Back Better plan that might still come about?
Well, there's $100 million a year coming into New Jersey from the president's transportation initiative, and that's welcome money. But when you look at the $2 billion on the state side and $2 billion on the federal side, again, another drop in the bucket. And when you have federal money coming in, there's an expectation, there's a requirement that you have your state share. If New Jersey doesn't have its state share because our transportation trust fund is out of money, then we don't get that federal money.
Recalling the governor's presentation, he's proposing an almost $7 billion contribution to the New Jersey Pension Fund. Would it have been a better idea, because the Transportation Trust Fund is a more immediate need versus the pension fund? It's ongoing, to be sure, but not everyone jumps in that pool at the same time. To maybe shave that $7 billion down to, let's just arbitrarily say, $5 billion, and take $2 billion over to the TTF?
Well, the problem with that is that's exactly what's happened for 20 years in Trenton. There has always been multiple demands on a very limited stream of revenue. And, you know, the analogy for the ordinary homeowner is, you know, the roof is leaking and the basement's flooding and, you know, the car is broken, and they all need to be addressed at the same time. Well, we as a state have underfunded the pensions for so many years that even with the amount the governor's putting in, and he should get credit for putting in 2 years in a row the full obligation, it still leaves a very big void that needs to be filled. And when we talk about the Transportation Trust Fund, we need a repeatable, as a state, a repeatable, renewable source of revenue every single year to fund it. You know, doing a one-year program and shortchanging the pension is probably not making the best long-term choice.
We've seen in the past, too, with the budget, a lot of, they call them bonding issues. That's just a more graceful way of saying borrowing and creating more debt. With this cash flow that the state is sitting on to do what they do this year, is this probably the best time we've seen in decades for a fiscal policy reset, so we don't go back to those days of, well, this is a general purpose money, so we're going to use it for this instead of that? I mean, you know all the games used to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's the state constitution that says you can't borrow money without voter approval. And our Supreme Court has been timid in strictly enforcing that, and instead we see borrowing that happens all the time without voter approval because of loopholes that are created that don't make any common sense, but certainly you could drive a legal theory through it. We have to stop doing that, and we have to recognize that, you know, every program that is for instance, the anchor program that the governor's doing, give him high marks for proposing it, but we have to also make sure in making that promise that it's repeatable. What's the sense of providing property tax relief in the 2023 fiscal year budget only when 2024 comes to recognize that there isn't the capability of continuing that level of support? That's where the public justifiably gets cynical. You provide something one year, you take it back the next year. That's not the definition of good government.
Not in the least. And as I said, the process has just begun, and we know if tradition holds true, it'll go up to the last possible day before everything is finally sealed and delivered and signed. That's about the order that it goes, by the way. I didn't screw up the old slogan. But anyway, we've been talking with a member of the State Assembly from 1996 through 2018. He was the head of the Bridgegate investigation, candidate for governor in 2017. Today, heads the legal firm of Wisniewski Associates, WisniewskiLaw.com. John Wisniewski, thank you so much for your insight into all this and for being here today.
I'm glad to be with you. I look forward to chatting again soon.